Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together from Psalter 417, the stanzas 1 and 2. Send forth, O Lord, of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation, where neath thy wings I'll be supplied. With grace thou wilt provide. And what follows, Psalter 417, the stanzas 1 and 2. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Isaiah 63. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah 63. Who is this that cometh from Edom, with thy garments from Bozrah, this that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury. And I will bring down their strength to the earth. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord, and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit, Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them, to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep as an horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble, as a beast goeth down into the valley. The Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. Look down from heaven, and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting, O Lord. Why hast thou made us to err from thy ways, and hardened our heart from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake the tribes of thine inheritance. The people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine, thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. O Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when by renewal on this Lord's day, that thou hast yet brought us and our children under thy means of grace, may it please thee to show thy mercy. Oh, do look down upon us poor sinners, in the sun of thine eternal love, and do pour out thy Holy Spirit upon us in a rich measure, Lord. That is our only hope and our only expectation. Then in the realm of nature, then thou granteth much instruction, much to think and much to speak about. We may acknowledge thee for the gentle rains, which thou granteth upon the thirsty earth. Ah, Lord, may it please thee to grant the rain of thy Holy Spirit upon us and our children. It is also thy work to make that barren and dry earth of natural man, of our heart, of our soul, that thou may make it thirsty, and that we may be given to long for thee, the living God, O Lord. On the glorious day of Pentecost, then it is pleased thee and to fill thy church with thy Holy Spirit. And thou wast given unto the apostles as such a rich liberty to proclaim the wonderful things of the Lord and our Lord. And they were not able to convert one, because that is not the work of men. That is thy work, free and sovereign grace. But thou gatherest thy church by word and by spirit. And upon that preaching in that day, 3,000 great sinners were pricked in their heart, were placed in their guilt, were placed in their misery. Then their former life, what they have done, has all come back. And then they were given to say, men and brethren, what must we do? O Lord, and may it please thee in this day, and in this evening hour, and that the foolishness of preaching may be used to that end. As thou wast promised in thy holy word, that it shall not return void unto thee, and O Lord, as shall it not be to thy honor and thy glory, when in this hour, that our little boys and our little girls, by the work of thy Holy Spirit, that they would receive a new heart, a heart to love thee, to hate sin, a heart that needs to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, Lord. Would thy name not be greatly glorified, and would thy Zion not be gladdened, when our young people would be wrought upon by thy Holy Spirit to make that good choice of a Ruth. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. To be given to set their face Zionwards in a world where there are so many temptations, in a special way for our youth, O Lord. Would thy church not be gladdened, and would thy great and worthy name not be honored, when the middle-aged, in the busyness of life, in all the trials, with all the blessings, when they would be pricked in their heart, when they would be joined to those sires that have learned to cry after thee and thy righteousness, all given to see that there is one thing needful, and that there is but one step between us and death, O Lord. Do glorify thy great and worthy name in the conversion of our elderly ones that have experienced so many Pentecosts, that have come to the evening of their life, and eternity cannot be so far away that it would be heard that thou hast become too strong for them, to experience thy love shed abroad in the heart, and to become a poor, undone sinner that may cry for mercy. But, O Lord, where thou hast begun, wilt thou grant those further leadings? Thou hast a people upon the earth that are so dependent upon the immediate working of thy Holy Spirit. Wilt thou grant that those hidden ones, it is true when thou worketh, then we shall prophesy, and then we shall speak, with our walk, then that separation shall be seen, because then we receive a desire for thee, and we need thy righteousness, but all, Lord, those hidden ones, they can have so many questions, so many riddles. Their way can seem so strange, hoped to become holier, and now to experience only to become a greater sinner. Oh, that is the work of thy Holy Spirit. And for poor and needy sinners, to bring them to a saving knowledge of thy dear Son, who can save to the uttermost, Lord. Let there be no rest outside of where thou hast rested for thy church, and that is in the finished work of thy dear Son. Ah, grant those further leadings, as thou wast given to thy disciples, and they were given to rejoice with rejoicing unspeakable, Lord. We are living in the latter days. The times they are serious, the times they are solemn. And may we be given to see it, to understand it, and may it drive us oftentimes to the throne of grace. Ah, Lord, thou holdest thyself still, but now it is thy work. Ah, when thou would work in a very rich measure amongst us and our children in a dark time, then it would be so manifest that it is all thy work. Oh, it is all thy work. Lord, glorify then thyself. Oh, we have heard out of thy holy word that in Israel of old was given to say that they were called after thy name. We and our children have the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost upon our forehead. O triune God, wilt thou then work mightily and lovingly in the hearts of young and old? Thou knowest if thou leaveth us lie in our lost condition, then we are forever undone, and we are traveling to a never-ending eternity. There were those amongst us on the last Pentecost, among young and old, that have went away of all flesh. To that end may we be given to hasten for our life's sake, Lord. Wilt thou bless the manifold labors in the church, in the family circles. Remember our Christian school, when in this week that the teachers and children hope to meet one another. Oh, do bless thy holy word. Remember all those that labor therein and therewith. Remember also the school board in their weighty and responsible task. Wilt thou also remember them in this week when they hope to gather a school board? Wilt thou gather with them, Lord? Remember then thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established churches, the persecuted church, the Jewish people, the beloved for the Father's sake, and remember mission work also, our mission field, thy servants and the team, Lord. Remember the nations of the earth. Remember also our poor nation that sinks away in iniquity and transgression. Remember this province, the premier, those that stand at a side Wilt thou grant that they may bow their knees, and that there may be an acknowledgement that thou rulest over everything, that thou hast everything in thy hand. Wilt thou remember all the sick, all the afflicted, those in hospitals also with the virus. Wilt thou remember the special needs amongst us, and there are many of them, Lord. Wilt thou remember, uphold, and comfort all the mourning families. Wilt thou remember our elderly ones, those in the care home, those in their homes, those that may still go in and out. Wilt thou remember the sick and the afflicted. Then by renewal we commend unto thee the old mother in the hospital. We commend her unto thee for body and soul, Lord. Upon her hospital bed, may she be given to cry unto thee for her body and especially for her never-dying soul. Lord, remember all under the doctor's care. And then in this evening, then we may see that a mother may be in thy house together with her family circle. Oh, her struggles have been manifold, undergoing treatments to doctors, to specialists, for a long time, not able to come to thy house. And then in this evening with her family circle, Lord, may she be humbled under thy goodness, and may she receive a special blessing. Remember the handicapped amongst us. Remember the family circles. Remember prodigal sons and daughters. And now, Lord, in this evening hour, may our eyes truly be upon thee. May our expectation be from the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. Wilt thou grant thy Holy Spirit, in speaking and in listening, may thy word go forth with power divine. Leave us not cold. Leave us not hard. Leave us not untouched. But, Lord, may it please thee to work wonderfully amongst us and our dear children. Then on this day, then we have to confess, not worthy, undeserved, forfeited. Our sins are great and manifold, and it is, Lord, the work of thy Spirit to make that reality each time by renewal in the hearts of thy people, and a need for that precious blood. May the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom, and for the glory of thy name we ask it, in the pardoning of all of our transgressions, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 389, the stanzas 4 and 5, thus not 4 and 6. My failing spirit see, O Lord, to me make haste. Hide not thy face from me, lest bitter death I taste. And what follows, Psalter 389, the stanzas 4 and 5, and the extra collection today is for the mission. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Isaiah 63, the verses 14 and 15. Our God's word and our text reads thus: As a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength? The sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me, are they restrained? Our text words speak of Isaiah's rich declaration of the glorious work of the Holy Spirit. With four thoughts: in the first place, the Spirit's blessed indwelling. Secondly, the Spirit's wonderful leading. Thirdly, the Spirit's granted rest. And fourthly, the Spirit's revival besought. Isaiah's rich declaration of the glorious work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's blessed indwelling, the Spirit's wonderful leading, the Spirit's granted rest, and the Spirit's revival besought us. First, the Spirit's blessing indwelling. Beloved congregation, our text words have been taken out of the prophecy of Isaiah, a prophet that has prophesied in approximately the year 758 to 698 B.C. And as we read in the first verse of this prophecy, in the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, in the first 39 chapters of Isaiah, then we read of matters that have transpired in the lifetime of Isaiah, and then he has warned that people under the approaching judgments not to trust in Egypt nor in Assyria. Then in the chapters 40 through 66, we read in chapter 40, "Comfort, comfort, ye my people, saith the Lord, cry unto Jerusalem, that her warfare is accomplished, that her sin is pardoned, that she has received double." Then the chapters 40 through 66, then they were given more to speak a word when that people would be in Babylon because of their sins, and when it would seem that they would never be delivered, that it was so hopeless. The Lord in his goodness, then already by means of the prophet, then he was given to speak of precious things, whereupon they could plead upon, when they were in that faraway Babylon, where Nebuchadnezzar has become so mighty, and with human reasoning impossible, that they would be delivered from Babylon. For a people that would sit by the rivers of Babel, where they have hung their harps on the willow, fearing that they would never sing one of Zion's songs. But then the prophet was given to instruct. Then he would encourage that people that there would be deliverance. And in that proclamation of deliverance, not only a deliverance from Babylon, but then the prophet Isaiah, many times called the evangelist of the New Testament, then he may speak of the promised Messiah. Ah, there are prophecies in this prophet that do not refer to the temporal deliverance, but that refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what precious things that we read 7 verse 14, 9 through 6. Oh, boys and girls, Isaiah 53. Maybe you know what is written in that chapter. There the prophet Isaiah was given to speak of the suffering the Lord Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgression. He was smitten for our sins. Ah, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Then the prophet Isaiah was given to speak of his wonderful work. And now also in this chapter, the blessings for the church of God. And then in this chapter, there is spoken in a special way of the work of the Holy Spirit. Because in the verses 10 through 14, then we read two times of the Holy Spirit. And we read of the Holy Spirit three times in the Old Testament, of course, more times. But that the Spirit is called the Holy Spirit. Two of the three times in this chapter. And also called the Spirit of the Lord. And then in our text, then we read of the precious work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, of granting a special blessing. Because we read of that valley for the church, where they may experience, where they may find that special rest. But now we have heard it, the work of the Holy Spirit, never separated from the work of the Father and of the Son, because we read in the Scriptures that the Spirit proceedeth from the Father and from the Son. And then in these verses, then we read also of the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. Because do we not read in verse 11, where is He that put His Holy Spirit within Him? And how is it now possible that Holy Spirit, co-essential and co-eternal with the Father and with the Son, how is it now possible that Holy Spirit, that He can have dealings, that He can make His indwelling in the heart of great sinners? Ah, that is declared in this chapter, because in the first six verses, oh, then the prophet is asked, who is he that cometh from Edom with thy garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel. And then there was no answer in verse 2. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winepress? Oh, young and old, are there souls that need that precious mediator, that have learned by the work of the Holy Spirit, with all your working, with all your prayers, with all your hopes, that you are a sinner still, and that your guilt still stands open? Because young and old, a sin must be satisfied for, by us or by our children. But then in this chapter, oh, then the prophet Isaiah, then he may point to him with those dyed garments, red in his apparel, and why that is because of the sin of his people that have been laid upon him, but not only in the state of his humiliation, because then the prophet is also given to declare, ah, with those stained garments, with the blood of his enemies, that refused to bow under King Jesus, that have chose the things of the world or self-righteousness, then that is a poor sinner to be saved by free and sovereign grace. Then the prophet is given to portray that precious mediator also in the state of his exaltation. Do we not read in Revelations 19, the apostle John on the island of Patmos banished and persecuted for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he was given to see that exalted king, his vesture dipped with blood. And then on that vesture is written, I read in verse 16, that he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And because of the first six verses, because we have stated that the Holy Spirit, that he can have no communion, that he can never dwell in the heart of sinners, because justice requires that sin is punished and that sin is satisfied. But now with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that has its foundation in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the state of his humiliation, he has taken the sin of his church upon him. He has suffered, he has died. Oh, he was red in his apparel, how his blood has flowed. He has satisfied justice. The Father has promised the Son as a reward upon that meritorial finished work, that he would receive a people, and that is his church, and how that church must and shall be gathered, all on the day of Pentecost. Oh, what a glorious and what a rich day, that 3,000 enemies were made friends, 3,000 that were traveling on the Broadway to everlasting destruction, that they were stopped, that they were turned, that they were wrought upon, that they were enlightened, and that they were saved. Thus so clear in our chapter when we speak of the work of the Holy Spirit has its foundation in the finished work of that precious mediator in the state of his humiliation. And he is sent forth because Christ, he sitteth at the right hand of the Father, and he has promised this church in John 14, 15, and 16, other places, that he would send the Comforter and now the Prophet, after he has declared the riches of that mediator. Then he is given to extol, to the people of Israel, that they may be humbled in the dust. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. Then the prophet is given to declare the great mercies of the Lord over that people Israel and congregation. Why has the Lord now chosen that people? Why has the Lord now called and chosen in Abram in that faraway Ur of the Chaldeans, because wasn't Abram asking for the Lord? No, it is written in the scriptures that he was an idol worshiper, but that was the free and sovereign grace of God that he has chosen in Abram with his people, that they would be a separate people, that they would be a privileged people, and that the Lord would gather his church out of the midst of that people in a special way of that wonderful work. Then Moses has sung concerning the children of Israel in the plains of Moab in a song in Deuteronomy 32, where we read in the verses 8, 9, and 10, when the Most High divided to the nation their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of the eye. The prophet was given to sing of the loving kindness of the Lord. And then surely, as such a people, they would be obedient. They would never murmur. They would never rebel. But then the prophet, he has brought home to the people the sins of the church. And that is necessary for the church by the first time, but also they by renewal. Then under all the goodness, the pity, because we read, and his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. The prophet is given to deal honestly with the children of Israel, that it is a bitter thing for the church, also for a child of God, to sin against the Lord. But then further, then Isaiah the prophet, then he was given to reflect upon the great goodness, the patient long-suffering of the Lord for that people, that he remembered in the days of old. He was given to speak, that led them by the right hand with his glorious arm, a word has pleased the Lord to lead the people of Israel with an outstretched arm out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, that he has led them through the wilderness. Then we read, where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him? Israel, that is a type of the living church. And now in the moment of regeneration, then that Spirit takes indwelling. Then he works lovingly and irresistible, as in the day of Pentecost, upon those 3,000 that were wrought upon. Then when that people were troubled, then they are given to reflect upon the past. And then two times in verse 11, where is he first that brought them up out of the sea? And where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him? It can become so quiet in the life of a child of God. When they are given to reflect, when they may be given to believe that the Lord has led them out with an outstretched arm. And now in the wilderness, because our text that speaks of a beast that goeth down into the valley, a beast that is seeking rest. And in the wilderness they have experienced wonderful things. And then in verse 13, that led them through the deep as an horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble, perhaps referring when they have come through the River Jordan and that they have entered the promised land of Canaan, were in different places it was promised, that there would come a time, oh, it is true, they had many battles to fight, but that there would come a time that they may sit under their vine and that they may sit under their fig tree, that they may enjoy that rest in that promised land. Oh, here for the child of God, it is only in part that full rest that is kept for eternity for the people of God. And therefore Moses has said in Deuteronomy 12, verse 8, for ye are as yet not come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. Our second thought, the Spirit's wonderful leading, because we read in our text, as a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest, so didst thou lead thy people. Then in these verses, then there is an emphasis, the work of the Holy Spirit, that is diverse, that is manifold, but in this chapter, then there is stress laid upon the leading of the Spirit, that he leadeth the child of God. Christ has spoken to his disciples in that upper room in John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. And now in our text, as a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. And that word beast in the Hebrew language, that does not speak of little animals, not of sheep, but that speaks more of larger animals, oxen, asses, and camels perhaps. And now the prophet, then he compares the children of Israel to those beasts, to those animals that are wandering through the wilderness. And it is true, in the wilderness, then the children of Israel, they have received resting places. Think of Elam, where there were those 12 water wells and those 70 palm trees. They had the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. But in those resting places, it was only for a time, and then soon the pillar continued, and they were given to follow. But now our text speaks for those beasts, that they may receive a special place of rest, where they may abide for a while, and where they are not so troubled. Thus the emphasis in our text, and in these verses, then the prophet is given to explain the work of the Holy Spirit, that he leads his true child, that he takes them by heart and by hand. And then we read, as a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord. There are many other spirits that try to lead us, to lead us astray, to keep us on that broad way. Then there is the spirit of the world, and And that spirit has much power in our day. Read Revelation 13, the beast out of the sea, the beast out of the earth, and that is given to deceive the nations, unable to speak to the people of the earth. What is now necessary for us and our children, that we may be given to search the scriptures? What saith the Lord? Then there is the spirit of false religion. Do we not read in the scriptures that the devil can also work as an angel of light? Oh, the spirit, those false spirits that keep us on the wrong way. But now we read in our text, the spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people. They were led through the wilderness by the pillar of cloud, by the pillar of fire. In our text, that leading is ascribed to the spirit of the Lord. And now by renewal, how is it now possible that the Spirit makes that indwelling, and that the Spirit labors among the children of men? That is through him, because in these verses we read two times led and one time to lead. And then we read the same of the beloved Son of God, who was dyed, his garments were dyed red in his apparel. If we just read the Gospel of Luke, then in Luke 22, verse 54, then we read, after the Son of God, after he was arrested, then we read that he was led to the high priest's house. In verse 66 of the same chapter, he was led into their council. In Luke 23, verse 1, we read that the whole multitude led him to Pilate. Verse 26, they led him away to the cross. Then we read of him that was dyed in his apparel, his garments were red, that he was led away. He had no sin, no original and no actual sin, but he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as I read in Isaiah 53, verse 7, the love of the Savior, that he was willing to be led under the justice of his Father, that he was given into the hands of men. Oh, see him then in Gethsemane, see him in Gabbatha, see him hanging on the cross, because he was innocent, and yet he was led, that he has suffered and died, he has merited, that the Holy Spirit that is given to his church, and that the Spirit that he is given to lead his child. And what is now necessary? Oh, our text speaks as a beast. Oh, shall the church become angry to be compared to a beast? Oh, it can be that they become jealous of the animals because they have no sin and they have no soul and they are still upon the earth for the purpose wherewith the Lord has created them. And in the way of experience, oh, and Asaph, he could not agree with the Lord. Oh, Asaph, He could not follow the Lord, could not understand the Lord, had so many questions, the wicked, no troubles, but with him troubles every morning. He could not follow the Lord in the way that the Lord has laid out before him. But now we read that so didst thou lead thy people. What is now necessary that we are given to know the Lord and his attributes, that we are given to believe the Lord, what he declares in his word, that we are given to trust the Lord, our needs for body and soul, that we are given to deny ourselves, as Christ has said in Matthew 16, verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So the Lord did lead his people. Ah, that is with a confession of our ignorance, of our poverty, of our weakness. So the Lord led his people, young and old. Who were we led by? By the spirits of the world, by falsehood, or are we led by the word of God and by his spirit? Oh, have we been wrought upon as that people in the day of Pentecost? Oh, when they were wrought upon by the spirit, then they were willing to be led, because then what did they say, boys and girls? You have heard it in this afternoon. Amen and brethren. Then those apostles became their companions. Then that people, they had a desire to travel. They were given to see that that was such a blessed people. That was a people traveling to heaven. And when the Spirit is wrought upon them, then they were given to see that they were traveling to hell. But, then they said, men and brethren, young and old, how is it now on this day of Pentecost? Have we been wrought upon? Have we received the knowledge of the Lord? Has that love been shed abroad in our heart? Have we become true seekers? Are we seeking a rest that is value for the time, and that is value for that never-ending eternity? Are there restless souls? Because in our text, then we read of the beast that is a picture of Israel, that they were seeking for that rest. And then it is clear that with everything that the children of Israel have experienced, that there was a desire and a longing. The Spirit would lead them to the valley where they would experience that special rest. That is our third thought. Let us first sing a Psalter 292, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. A wandering in the wilderness, far they roamed the desert way, found no settled dwelling place, were in peace secure to stay. And what follows, 292, 3, 4, and 5. Isaiah's rich declaration of the glorious work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's blessed indwelling, the Spirit's wonderful leading, and now thirdly, the Spirit-given rest. Then it is clear from our text word, from that beast in the wilderness, that beast was seeking for a special place of rest, freed from trials, freed from worries. Thus then we may speak of a restless people, and through our deep fallen Adam, then it is a restless world. And it seems with all the inventions and all the conveniences that the world is only becoming more restless. Concerning the wicked, we read also in this prophecy, Isaiah 57, verse 20, but the wicked are like a troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. And in chapter 48, verse 22, no rest for the wicked. Then there is much false rest in this world, young and old. What are we resting upon for that never-ending eternity? It's an important question. What are we resting upon that we may meet our Maker? Do we have a foundation? And have we experienced matters which we can find in the Bible that may give some rest? Or do we try to put those thoughts away? Not to think of death, of eternity. Maybe our younger generation sometimes thinks those are things, they trouble us. They make me so fearful. I shall think about those things later. Shall a later come, boys and girls and young people? Shall there be a later? Only a step between us and death. What a false rest there can be. Also in the way of religion is our hope that we are under the truth, great privilege, great blessing, and responsibility, but we need to experience that truth. But now for the beast that has been traveling through the wilderness, then the Spirit of the Lord would lead them down into the valley, and there they would experience a special blessing. And now for the church, when the Spirit works, then they may receive those places of rest. Oh, at the throne of grace, when they may be given to pour out their heart, and when they may experience that there is opening and taste of the sweetness of the Lord. How happy. That gives them rest. Oh, what a rest when they may open the Bible and they may read their name. That it is not all strange. Then they may rest in that hope that the Lord knoweth of them. They are given to rest when they may come up to God's house and their heart opened and declared. Oh, as a Ruth, when they may be given to glean with such a joy, that is such a sweet work to glean on the fields of Boaz, and then to take it home, through hair to be threshed out, and then to come to Nehemiah. That church may be given to rest, when the Lord may speak a word of comfort to their soul, when the Lord grants a promise, when they may be exercised therewith. Oh, concerning that rest, then they are precious times and precious moments. But now it is clear in our text for that beast that it speaks of a further leading and a further benefit. We read in Ruth 3 verse 1, that Nehemiah, that she was exercised with Ruth. The barley harvest has come to an end. Ruth has become quiet. The need has become great. Ruth, shall I not seek rest for thee? And then she was sent to the threshing floor. And then, when she has returned, then Ruth may declare, and Nehemiah may declare, that that man shall not rest till he has done what he has said. And now concerning those many resting places, oh, how sweet and how good. But we have said that our text words that speaks of a special place that the Holy Spirit leads his people. Because if you ask that people that have been led and that have experienced and tasted of the sweet things of the Lord, then if you ask them, because the Lord has a restless people upon the face of the earth, also for a child of God, they are rest seekers. And then they may be given to rest therein and in another matter. But now it is this work of the Spirit of the Lord that they may be led into this valley of our text. Because those souls, with everything that they have experienced, they can be so restless, the same as that dove in Genesis 8 that was led out of the ark and that found no rest for the sole of her feet. How that people can be troubled, oh, troubled by their sins. Because if you ask those souls, how is it now with your sins? And then it is true, when the Lord may grant that rest, there can be times that it seems to be all well. But if you now ask those souls, where have your sins remained? Then how restless they are, all restless, under a demanding law. They hoped to satisfy that law, but they learn forever impossible, that they are restless under a demanding justice, that they are called to pay all. Oh, how restless they can be under an assaulting devil. How restless they can be when the Lord, in the way of providence, that he leads them in such strange ways, they think, and that they have such difficulty, because how often it is, what a work that the Spirit has, that the church may be led, that they may follow, and in also, and that is in the way of grace, to be saved by free and sovereign grace but also in the way of providence. But now we read, as the beast goeth down into the valley, does not up on top of a high mountain, on top of a high hill, but that they go down into the depth, into a special valley, and there is a way into that valley. Oh, then it goes in the depth, then there are ravines, then there are hills, there are mountains, but now it is the work of the Holy Spirit to lead those restless beasts, to lead those restless souls, that of no rest for their soul. Then it is the work of the Spirit. Then they are led past Mount Sinai. Then they are led deeper in the valley of uncovering. Then the Spirit teaches them, from this tree no fruit forevermore, but as a beast goeth down into the valley. The Spirit of the Lord caused them to rest. Thus then we can picture, boys and girls, that there are some beasts traveling through the wilderness, and that they desire a place of special pasture, a place where they may rest. And now the Spirit, that He leadeth His church, and that they come into that valley. And what must we now understand by that valley? That is declared by the psalmist in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me in green pastures. He maketh me to lie beside still waters. There you have that leading. And then in verse 3, He restoreth my soul. We have heard of a people that have learned that they are rebellious and a murmuring people. They have sent everything away. Thou restoreth my soul. Thou He leadeth me in the way of righteousness for His name's sake. And then we have that valley. Though He leadeth me through the valley of the shadow of death. That is the way to that valley. I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff comforteth me. And then Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. That is the blessing of that valley. That was the valley that the apostles were led into on the day of Pentecost, that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. That valley of assurance, that they were the children of God. That valley, that table, that is the mediatorial work of Jesus Christ, of whom we have heard. Who is this that cometh from Edom with thy garments from Bozrah? Wherefore art thou ridden thy apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? That valley, that is the leading of the Spirit, that way of salvation may be revealed, and that it may be applied. That is the table, that is the marrow of the gospel, where justice has been satisfied, and where the church may find rest, that they may be given to rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the application of the Holy Spirit. And the reason we read in our text, to make thyself a glorious name. What a glorious name that was manifested on the day of Pentecost. In such a rich measure that the apostles were led into the valley of that assurance. For 3,000 that were wrought upon, pricked in their heart, in a short time come to a saving knowledge To be brought into that valley, people of God, how is it with our rest? We have mentioned, when the Lord comes over, when the Lord speaks, when the Lord touches our heart, then there may be a resting, but it is necessary for the church to be led by the Spirit of the Lord into that valley, the finished work of the Son. Thereupon the Father is rested, and thereby a triune God can have communion with sinners. Our last thought, the Spirit's revival besought. After the prophet declaring the leadings of the Spirit, the wonderful works of the Lord, then he has turned to prayer. May that also be amongst us. We think of the day of Pentecost, how so many were wrought upon, 3,000, led by the Spirit, receive that rest. And each and every one needs that blessing. It's terrible to live and to die without. Oh, may we be aroused to a holy jealousy, and that we may be given to do. Oh, in truth, that is the work of the Spirit. Ah, that Pentecostal church, before the day of Pentecost, they were together in prayer and supplication. And now upon the leading of that beast, necessary for prayer for the unconverted, but also for the further leadings in the life of a child of God. And what a tender prayer of the prophet. Look down from heaven, O Lord. Look now from thy dwelling place, and look upon us and our children, poor sinners that need to be saved by free and sovereign grace. Ah, Lord, do it to make thyself a glorious name. And what a tender prayer. Look down from heaven, and behold, from the habitation of thy holiness. We read of holiness before mercy, Lord, as a people that loves the Lord and all his attributes. Look down from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. And then, to say it reverently, to touch the heart of the Lord, a tender spot, because the Lord is jealous of his honor. Then Isaiah would be a prayer for the people in Babylon, where they have wept, so impossible to be delivered, but that the church would pray, Lord, look down from heaven. We are in captivity. We are a poor, we are a weak people. Nebuchadnezzar is so strong with his army. Ah, Lord, look down from heaven and pity our woes. And then the prophetess said, Lord, where is thy zeal? Where is thy strength? Ah, Lord, dost thou hear that there are those mockers that tell us to sing one of Zion's songs in a strange country? Lord, where is thy strength? Art thou not the same yesterday, today, and forever? Art thou not an almighty God? Art thou not able to convert us and our children? And then further, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me. are they restrained? What a prayer that the prophet has taught the children of Israel to pray in times of great troubles and in the times of distress. Our text speaks of the special work of the Holy Spirit, granting them those further leadings, granting them that assurance of their state for eternity. May we be given to humbly beg the Lord in these solemn and these serious times, where the footsteps of the coming of King Jesus, that they are heard young and old, we need to experience what those 3,000 have experienced on the day of Pentecost. May we be given to try to humbly beg the Lord that he may do a mighty and a rich work amongst us. The prophet at the end of this chapter, then he was given to say, we are thine. Even outwardly, we have a baptized forehead, but Lord, we are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name. And then in the first verse of chapter 64, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow away at thy presence. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee that thou was given this Lord's Day, and that we could meet undisturbed. Then thou was yet given a few words to speak. It needs to all be pardoned in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Then we have heard in this evening hour of the leading of thy Holy Spirit concerning thy church, O Lord. And may it please thee by thy grace to take us by heart and by hand, and to lead us on that way everlasting, to experience rest here in beginning. It is only in part, because that full rest that is kept for eternity, all for thy people in heaven, then all the troubles shall cease, and then they may be given to rest in thee and praise thy name for thy wonderful works. Lord, if we shall have to go lost, then we shall come to a place, to that bottomless pit, where there shall not be a single moment of rest, but tormented forever. Lord, we are called by thy name. Wilt thou stretch out thy mighty arm, and that sinners may be rescued, and may thy children, for restless souls, may they be brought into that valley where they may receive that assurance. Lord, watch over us in this week. Wilt thou keep us in the home, on the way, at school, at work, wherever we are called to be. Wilt thou also remember our family circle when we are called upon to go to the cemetery and to entrust the mortal remains of our old dear mother to the earth. Lord, wilt thou strengthen and wilt thou comfort and wilt thou work lovingly and mightily by thy Holy Spirit. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies to that end. Wilt thou watch over the whole congregation. Remember her in the hospital. And wilt thou remember the coming Sabbath day. Wilt thou help and remember the consistory. Wilt thou remember the doorkeepers. those that may lead the congregational singing, take care of the sound system, all those that may have an active part in all, Lord. May we all be given to commend the needs of the church unto thee, and to give and to beg of thee, that thou may do a mighty work amongst us. Return us safely in the midst of our people. Grant now traveling mercies. Watch over us in this night. Ah, may there be yet a few restless beggars, but may there also be a few souls that may be given to meditate upon the wonderful works, upon the resting places which thou grantest, but also concerning that valley where thou preparest the table in the presence of their enemies, and where their cup may run over, and where they may say with the psalmist, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Pardon us of all of our sins, also of this day, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 53, the five stanzas. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. And what follows, Psalter 53, the five stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.